Right now on VFN TV, we're going to take a look at the first 23 months of President Donald Trump being in office, and we're going to take a look back and see if things have been accomplished that he was talking about, because we want to make sure to just state of the nation, kind of seeing where our country goes. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, I'm excited to be on this program.
Is this going to be a good one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. 23 months.
Right.
You can do a lot of things in this nation in 23 months.
And guess what? We're going to be able to go back and review. You're going to be so encouraged when you see, you know, what's happened over the last 23 months. I mean, things that people said were impossible, that would never happen again, they begin to turn around. And we're going to take you on a journey. On this journey, we're going to start off at the beginning and just, you know, kind of skimming over the top of it. But believe me, I believe you're going to be greatly encouraged as we were, as we begin to talk about this program and put this program together, right?
Listen, the nation has come so far in such a short amount of time, but a lot of this stuff that's happened over the years, the last 23 months, hasn't been broadcast. It hasn't been shared. You're going to get to see some of it, maybe for the first time. You didn't even know what was happening in our own country, and you will be encouraged.
You know, I want to encourage you, too. Share this with your friends. I mean, share
no
it. You
know,
be sure to comment below about what's happening. It's going to be very exciting. As a matter of fact, we're going to start off at the beginning of the presidency of Donald Trump when he made his first State of the Union address in March of 2017. Let's take a look back. By the way, we're going to work our way all the way up to today. But let's go back and look at March 2017 at President Trump's State of the Union address. Check it out.
Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world. I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength, and it is a message deeply delivered from my heart. A new chapter of American greatness is now beginning. A new national pride is sweeping across our nation, and a new surge of optimism is placing impossible dreams firmly within our grasp. What we are witnessing today is the renewal of the American spirit. Our allies will find that America is once again ready to lead. I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
This is so exciting, isn't it? I'm telling you, this program is going to be filled with encouragement. You're going to be inspired. Great things have been happening for the country of America, but also countries around the world. As a matter of fact, one thing that President Trump said he would do was put a conservative constitutional justice in the Supreme Court. And guess what he did with Gorsuch? As a matter of fact, let's go watch that now.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, you and your team have shown me great courtesy. And you've entrusted me with a most solemn assignment. Standing here in a house of history and acutely aware of my own imperfections, I pledge that if I am confirmed, I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great country. The Supreme Court's work is vital not just to a region of the country, but to the whole, vital to the protection of the people's liberties under law and to the continuity of our Constitution, the greatest charter of human liberty the world has ever known. Practicing in the trial work trenches of the law, I saw, too, that when we judges don our robes, it doesn't make us any smarter. But it does serve as a reminder of what's expected of us. Impartiality and independence. Collegiality and courage. I look forward to speaking with members from both sides of the aisle, to answering their questions and to hearing their concerns. I consider the United States Senate the greatest deliberative body in the world, and I respect the important role the Constitution affords it in the confirmation of our judges. I respect, too, the fact that in our legal order, it is for Congress and not the courts to write new laws. It is the role of judges to apply, not alter, the work of the people's representatives. A judge who likes every outcome he reaches is very likely a bad judge, stretching for results he prefers rather than those the law demands. I am so thankful tonight for my family, my friends, and my faith. These are the things that keep me grounded at life's peaks and that sustain me in its valleys. Mr. President, thank you very much.
That's so exciting, isn't it? And he got nominated, and they put him in office and a bit of on the bench, and he's there now. It's happening just like they said they would.
Doing a fantastic job and replaced Antonin Scalia.
Yeah.
It was a great pick.
Yes.
And it's just amazing.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, as we're talking, because we're catching us up from where we are the last 23 months, is that, you know, we have a GDP of 4.2.
4.6.
4.6. Oh, my goodness. It's gross domestic product, which means we've grown by four.
At least by 4 points, yeah.
And each one of those represents like $2 trillion of wealth and I don't know how many.
Eight to 10 million jobs.
Each point. That's so exciting. Listen, let's take a look. You're going to be excited about this. What did he do in his first 100 days? And what did everybody, all the media, start talking about his President Trump's first 100 days in office? Check it out.
And that is the peaceful transfer of power. The 45th president of the United States is now Donald J. Trump.
He said, I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never let you down.
So we do have some breaking news, because while it is about celebration, it is also now about policy.
Oh, that's right, Aaron. President Trump went right to work. He went right into the Oval Office shortly after he departed from the...
Is day two going to be as busy as day one? He met with business leaders. He met with union leaders. He signed a bunch of stuff. He fulfilled some campaign promises. What's left?
The pace over the past 10 days has been astronomical. Everybody in official Washington I talked to said, I cannot believe he's only been president for 10 days.
Dan, I think you got to admit, they did a pretty impressive job rolling out this nomination.
This is how it's supposed to be done. I mean, this is done to the T. Actually, even more so than we've seen in the past.
We're seeing the markets react positively. It is better than expected.
Consumer confidence rocketing to a 16-year high.
Healthy job growth again for the month of February. So is this the Trump effect?
Oh, I think it is. I think there's no question that employers like Donald Trump a lot in his agenda. And I think the fact that he's just more pro-business from the previous administration.
The Dow still nearing all-time highs, just finishing the longest quarterly winning streak in 10 years.
It was by far the best speech I've ever heard Donald Trump give. It was one of the best speeches in that setting I've ever heard any president give.
He's repairing relationships with Egypt as well as with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. You know, they saw Trump yesterday talk about Iran violating the spirit of the nuclear deal. So this is clearly part of a long-term strategy to reorient American foreign policy.
The bottom line is he's done well. He has done a lot of the things that he promised, like appointing a Supreme Court judge, like getting out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, like cutting regulation. But he's done a really good job.
Well, he's pretty close to perfect, Sean.
Pretty close.
I'm serious. He has done more than any president in recent history, certainly in the last half century, in the first 98 days of his presidency.
I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States.
Exciting, isn't it? Think about it. You know, a strong America is a strong world in regards to trade and everything else. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go in and look at the first 6 months. That was the first 100 days, but it hasn't stopped. It's been progression, success after success after success. It's amazing. Even while I'm talking to you right now, it's the lowest unemployment rate in the history of keeping records in America for African American citizens, Hispanic American citizens, and Asian American citizens. And it's like 66-67 year low unemployment for women, and it's the lowest, I believe, in many years, decades, for even teenage unemployment. And it's the lowest unemployment for people that don't even have their high school degree.
Lowest for veterans in 13 years.
Listen, you're going to be so encouraged. Join us after the break. We're going to look at the first 6 months as we progress on the state of the nation.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
Can religion be taught in a charter school curriculum? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son goes to a charter school out here. I was wondering if the charter schools are held to the same curriculum as public schools, or if they can diversify and go into a Christian aspect.
Well, charter schools are still public schools, so whatever curriculum they come up with, it has to be in the context of something that's not going to violate the Constitution. But there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits a school from talking about religion, religious values, and the role that religion played in public life. Your call says, Chris, is what's the role of religion in public schools? Can it be incorporated into curriculum? The answer is yes, but a charter school is still a public school, so it has to be within the guidelines, but there shouldn't be any problem there whatsoever.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so exciting. We're looking at the state of the nation, the first 23 months of President Trump's presidency, and it's been so encouraging, exciting, even since we started. But let's just go back and look at the first. This is on July 2017, his first 6 months. We just saw the first 100 days, and it was unanimous all the way across CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, across all, they're all saying
this. We're all praising him.
Praising him. It's like this, they've never seen such a successful president in the first successful 100 days. And the thing about it is, what he did his first 100 days, he hasn't stopped. It's been going nonstop. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at the first 6 months report about President Trump's presidency, July 2017. Let's take a look.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Think of the marvels we can achieve if we simply set free the dreams of our people. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. All the nations of the world, friend or foe, will find that America is strong, America is proud, and America is free. A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremes. Drive them out of this earth. Today, gathered with friends, I call upon all people, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and every faith, every tribe, every creed, to draw inspiration from this ancient city, to set aside our sectarian differences, to overcome oppression and hatred, and to give all children the freedom and hope and dignity written into our souls. I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel. The people of Poland, the people of America, and the people of Europe still cry out, "We want God." And above all, we value the dignity of every human life, protect the rights of every person, and share the hope of every soul to live in freedom. That is who we are. Those are the priceless ties that bind us together as nations, as allies, and as a civilization. Our citizens did not win freedom together, did not survive horrors together, did not face down evil together, only to lose our freedom to a lack of pride and confidence in our values. We did not, and we will not. We will never back down. The men and women of the United States military have been the greatest force for peace and justice in the history of the world. Every time you see the sun rise over this blessed land, please know your brave sons and daughters pushed away the night and delivered for us all that great and glorious dawn. It's time for a grateful nation to join hands with our police and with our sheriffs to build the bridges of cooperation and trust and to make our streets safer for every man, woman, and child in America. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America.
So powerful. Oh my goodness. I mean, it's so successful. But remember, the officers, police officers in the streets of America were being murdered in the streets.
Yeah.
Shootings in Dallas, two officers eating their sandwich meal in their car in New York, shot from behind in Louisiana and all across the nation. People, even we had a citizen in the workplace that was being beheaded right in the middle of our country during a work day, and it was called workplace violence.
Yeah.
We had, look what's happening. Look what's happening across.
We've come a long way. One thing this president said on the campaign trail, said we were going to get tired of winning.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're getting tired yet, but this country has been winning. It's been a major shift. And he's made a lot of promises, but he's also kept a lot of promises. Yeah. And that's been refreshing.
So far, promises made,
promises kept.
So also, let's go back and look at Brooke, because remember how things were, Saudi Arabia was saying to America during the previous administration, we want to help you defeat ISIS. We want to partner with America. We want to finance. We want to be able to put our soldiers with them. And they were rejected and said, the prince was on Fox News saying that they turned us down. We've always wanted to be able to help America defeat ISIS and this radical Islamic terrorism that's going on. Well, guess what? President Trump went abroad, and he went, his first trip abroad, he went to Saudi Arabia, he went to Israel, and he went to Rome and all those places. In fact, let's take a look back at the success as we're moving our way in the first 23 months of his presidency. Take a look.
From Saudi Arabia to Israel to NATO to the G7, we made extraordinary gains on this historic trip to advance the security and prosperity of the United States, our friends, and our allies. We paved the way for a new era of cooperation among the nations of the world to defeat the common enemy of terrorism and provide our children with a much more hopeful future. I was deeply encouraged to hear from the leaders of many Muslim and Arab nations that they are ready to take on a greater role in combating terrorism and providing young Muslims in their region with a future of safety and a future of opportunity. I went to Jerusalem, where I reaffirmed our unbreakable bond with the State of Israel. I was awed by the majesty and beauty of the Holy Land and the faith and reverence of the devoted people who live there. All children from all faiths deserve a future of hope and peace. In Rome, I was inspired by the beauty and even more inspired by meeting with Pope Francis. Then I traveled to two summits, first at a NATO summit in Brussels, where we agreed to improve the burden sharing among members of our alliance and to further confront the shared threat of terrorism. Next, I attended the G7. I laid out my vision for economic growth and fair trade and support of good-paying jobs, and I called for much greater security and cooperation on matters of both terrorism, immigration, migration, to protect our citizens. We concluded a truly historic week for our country. We traveled the world to strengthen long-standing alliances and to form a new partnership among nations devoted to the task of eradicating the terrorism that plagues our planet. And I am now more hopeful than ever in the possibility that nations of many faiths, many religions, and from many regions can join together in a common cause.
This is so huge. I mean, if you remember, you saw on our program, James Foley, an American reporter, before the entire world during the previous administration was beheaded. And it was so tragic. And we had his family on VFN TV. You could hear them. And we saw a British soldier in England crossing the street and somebody attack him and beheaded him in the streets.
Yeah.
And people were, our leaders, previous leaders were acting like it's no, it's like, it was amazing, the new normal.
Right.
And it's like, no. And it all, and so you're looking at this huge shift where the whole world is shifting and President Trump is leading this charge. And you see the support of the Arab nations, the support of the Jewish nation, the support of the Pope.
It shows you how strong leadership is and how much of an effect it has. The previous administration cozied up really close to Iran,
right,
but there was a major shift with
which
this administration.
Which is the enemy of America, the enemy of Israel. Yeah.
And you're seeing that Iran deal's being tore up. Everything shifted.
That's
everything
another thing. He ended the Iranian nuke deal, which actually gave them the ability to produce nuclear weapons in a short time. But not only that, you know, in America, we have Independence Day. We celebrate that on July the 4th when the Declaration of Independence from the King. We actually separated from the king to have our own independence. Well, Bastille Day in France is the day they celebrate for their independence. And the president was invited there by President Macron.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, this is President Trump in France celebrating the Bastille Day with the president of France. Check it out.
When the French people rose up and stormed the Bastille, it changed the course of human history. Our two nations are forever joined together by the spirit of revolution and the fight for freedom. France is America's first and oldest ally. Ever since General Lafayette joined the American fight for independence, our fates and fortunes have been tied unequivocally together. One century ago, the United States entered World War I. French and American patriots have fought together, bled together, and died together in the fight for our countries and our civilizations. President Macron, thank you for inviting Melania and myself to this historic celebration. And to you and your spectacular country, May God bless France, and may God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
This is so exciting. You're seeing what's taking place. The whole world is just being shifted around. God is shifting things around all over the nation. And one of the prophetic words given by Dutch Sheets in the beginning of the year, the Lord said specifically that he's going to be taking down giants, spiritual giants that have been over land since the beginning of time. And we're seeing God begin to shift and to move. And it's time to be excited and realize that God's at work, and to get behind and pray and support, you know, the president and what's taking place. And we've talked about that before, but understand that he's coming against world dark spiritual forces, you know, that are over regions and all. And you're starting to see people who want safety, who want freedom, who want this, you know, democracy and a chance. I mean, even Saudi Arabia, since his influence on Saudi Arabia, since he got into office, they're letting freedom come to their people again.
Women are driving in Saudi Arabia.
This is kind of strange, but understand, women weren't even driving. They couldn't have been allowed to drive, and there's a lot of religious repression on women there. And that not only that, that they had to go in and take all these wealthy, controlling people that were breaking the law in Saudi Arabia, and the new princess took them all.
Locked them up.
He locked them up, and he said, you know, they're an enemy of the people. And so you're seeing this is huge change taking place. So we have so much to be excited for. If you've been praying like we were praying for the previous administration, that God would begin to move. He's moving. This is him moving. We got to get excited, get encouraged, and realize if America sticks to her original values and we stick to one nation under God, even your country and your wherever you are in this world, you're going to be blessed, because America is the most gracious nation, helping people, standing up for people. We're the biggest supporters of NATO, which defends countries that are being attacked. And it's just so important. Make sure you join us for our next program, because we are going to pick up even more. We're going to go all the way up to the present day, the first 23 months of President Trump's administration. It doesn't stop. You're going to be so, so encouraged. But this is what I want to do right now. I want to pray for you. I want to ask you to begin to pray for our president, to understand this is his report card is good. He's doing an excellent job. He's doing the things he said he would do. And it's wonderful to see what's taking place. And, you know, every particular program you hear us say, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. Why we say that is the fact that before he can send a great awakening, we have to end the innocent bloodshed of children in the abortion. And that's taking place. We'll be talking about that. I'm so excited about part two of State of the Nation, the first 23 months of President Donald Trump's presidency. And so far, it's been so encouraging. And we're going to chronologically work our way up, all the way up to the 23rd month, and what's taking place. And we want to hear from you. You know, comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. A strong America represents light to all the nations of the world, when you think about it. But I remember when President Trump, on July 2017, that he went on the USS Gerald Ford to commission this aircraft carrier, because he said he's going to make our military strong again. As a matter of fact, let's go take a look back at that. The state of the nation under the first 23 months of President Donald Trump on the USS Gerald Ford aircraft carrier as it's being commissioned. Check it out.
Most of you who will man this ship today are just about 20 years old. Together, you are embarking on a truly great adventure. The journey will require all of your talents, all of your efforts, and all of your heart. To every patriot who will serve on this ship today and throughout history, I say this: keep the watch, protect her, defend her, and love her. Good luck and Godspeed. Thank you to the Ford family. And thank you to every sailor in the greatest Navy on earth. God bless you. God bless the Gerald R. Ford. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
That's so powerful. I remember when I was in the United States Navy, and that's just an important moment, the commissioning of your ship that you're going to be defending the country on.
It's so important, too, because right now he's increasing all the spending for military spending.
$700 billion, right?
But perfect timing, because I just heard reports that China now has the largest naval, department, if you will, in the world. China.
Well,
yeah. So this is perfect timing that our president is taking action. Because remember, the military was going down. I mean, the funding, the budgeting.
But not under President Trump.
No.
He's bringing it up $700+ billion, I believe, this year. The next year is going to be higher than that. Even to a space force, we'll be talking about that's coming out. He's launching a space force, a whole new wing of the military. It's so encouraging. I think about this too. You know, we've had tragedy since he's in his first 23 months. You know, shootings, then you know, massacres, different things that have happened. But also, we had Hurricane Harvey that hit Houston, and he was there with First Lady Melania, handing out food, hugging children, and also the devastation that hit Puerto Rico. Remember when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico? Well, this is President Trump showing compassion like he did on every one of these instances to be able to provide anything that they need. Here he is. This is Puerto Rico, President Trump coming down and meeting the needs of our citizens. This is so compassionate of our president, the first lady, to be there for our citizens in Puerto Rico and in Hurricane Harvey that was in Texas. And there's one thing that happened there that a lot of people don't talk about is that the people who work for the power utility there prior to the hurricane, they actually took all the money out of that industry there. Mm. They retired and they never did fix all the infrastructure. So it was a bad infrastructure when the hurricane hit, so it just demolished it. But because of President Trump and everybody getting behind it, they're rebuilding a brand new infrastructure and power. And that's what's taken so long because it was already weakest, you know, prior to the storm even arriving. So what turned out, you know, as bad is turning out to be a blessing for Puerto Rico because it's been under major, you know, financial issues and all kinds of things happening right there. But I think about this too. I think about, you know, I felt like under the previous administration that our president and all of his men felt and women felt ashamed of America. They felt ashamed of our strength and our military. You know, they felt ashamed of all the help that we've done in the earth. I mean, obviously it's not a perfect nation, but they just felt ashamed even of our military. Can you imagine serving in the military and being sent by a president who felt ashamed of you? How are you going to defend that particular nation? But guess what? Under President Donald Trump, in the first 23 months, as you see him there on the USS Gerald Ford, well, here he is celebrating the 70th anniversary of the United States Air Force. My father served in the Air Force.
My uncle served in the Air Force.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so here we are, and he's celebrating, and he's saying, listen, you're very important. You're the one defending our freedom. And he's affirming again the men and the women who risked their life to be able to give us the freedom that does not for free. They're paying for our freedom with their lives, just going out and doing that, and their families are as well. As a matter of fact, let's join. This is President Trump now in September 2017 at the 70th anniversary of the United States Air Force. Take a look.
The characteristics that define the Air Force aviator: boldness and bravery, action and instinct, power and grace. But there's something else. There's a spark. There's a desire to be good, to do well in the eyes of their peers. That desire to do good, to soar past every challenger, to overcome every obstacle, and to win for your fellow citizens and the land that we love is the same desire that beats in the heart of every red-blooded American
patriot. Because for America, the sky is never the limit.
That's so encouraging. If you were a military in the military branch, that you're being affirmed again by the commander in chief over the military, that he's not ashamed of you. He appreciates you. He acknowledges the significance of who you are.
He's going to give you the tools and the resources.
Over a $700+ billion budget, which is building ships and equipment and replacing, because they were actually having to go to mothball fleets and junkyards, basically, yeah, to take parts off those aircraft to be able to have aircraft that flies.
Not only he's determined that we're going to take care of you while you're protecting America, but as a veteran, we're going to make sure that when you come home and you retire, that you're going to be taken care of as well. That's another wonderful thing that he's done for the veterans.
And not only that if you can't make it to a VA medical facility, you can get treatment from a doctor nearby.
We're going to expedite the services and make sure that you're taken care of.
So the American vets have been lifted to the place that we need to honor them in. I mean, it's amazing what they do for us. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue on. We're looking at the first, a State of the Union, the first 23 months of President Trump's presidency. You're going to be so encouraged. We're going to go to the United Nations next, because remember, the United Nations was formed originally to be able to stop, you know, because of coming out of World War II. But one of the big things that happened in World War II was actually coming and attacking Israel. And all these years later, in the previous administration, they were using it to attack Israel. But things are a-changing. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
The difference between God as a concept and God as a living reality is that a concept is something you believe in. You certainly believe in it, but it's like an accessory. It's like a credit card. It's a gym membership. I control it, and I shape it to meet my life and my needs, right? So I'm still in control. But God as a living reality is an objective truth to which you mold your life to.
Right.
And that was a big difference. And that set a lot of things in motion, especially understanding a new understanding of the Ten Commandments.
Why do you see that changing?
Because it's time. You know the difference between you and these people? They're cowards. And you ain't.
Today's Friday Challenge word is power. It was sent in by Sam from Phoenix, Arizona, who is in the janitorial company. Again, power is a word that it can be positive or negative. I say everything rises and falls on leadership. That's true. But I can also say everything rises and falls on leadership. When leaders use power correctly, everything rises on leadership. When leaders use power incorrectly, everything falls on leadership. History is filled with leaders who abused power, who took it to their advantage, manipulated people, and put themselves first. History is also filled with people who had power but used it for the benefit of others. That's what I hope for you. That's what I hope for me. Sam, that's what I hope for you. My hope is that you and I will take the power that we have, the positions we have, and use it to add value to people. My name is John Maxwell. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm so excited. We're looking at the state of the nation for America, the first 23 months of President Donald Trump. And it's been so exciting since we're covering it. And next we're going to go to the United Nations, September 2017. Of course, we're going to work our way up to today, but we're working our way, you know, what's been happening? This is like a report card.
You know, I'm encouraged. Are you encouraged?
Oh, I'm deeply encouraged. You remember the United Nations. If you've been watching VFN TV, you can go back and find out at VFNKB.com. But literally, the former president was using the United Nations, surrendering some sovereignty over to the United Nations and saying it'd be better to be under that, turning over the internet neutrality, the URLs,
the ICANN,
which is the one who determines what you get your name or not on the.
We don't need that. The United States needs to be over.
They were going to turn that over to the country, and it was
The Human Rights Council. Everything that was being done to Israel. I mean, President Obama goes to Israel, and is telling them, "Oh, let's just take it to the United Nations." And if you know anything about the United Nations and the Human Rights Council, all of these sanctions were all levied against Israel, not against North Korea, not against these other countries that are literally persecuting and killing people in gulags, but Israel.
The friend of the world
who's blessing the nations.
Yeah, it's like around 180 countries, and the majority of them are communists and Arab nations that were coming together, partnering together to always vote against Israel. Guess what? President Trump's totally revamping. He's pulling out, defunding the Secretary of the United Nations.
Haley's
Comet.
Haley's Comet. That's one of the greatest things
Nikki
he did.
Nikki Haley, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is him speaking. So now, interesting, this is the first time him coming in, and he's going to set a new standard over the nations of the world. And he's laying down the gauntlet and saying, this is what this is about right here. Your sovereignty, our sovereignty, honoring each other, respecting that. As a matter of fact, this is President Trump doing what he said he would do at the United Nations. And it's such a huge thing. If you followed us, because remember Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu prior to this was at the previous United Nations sessions where he's looking at all the countries going, don't you remember why this whole thing was formed?
Yeah.
Don't you remember it was a persecution against the Israel
people?
The
famous stare down. It was like 30 seconds of silence as he looked each one of them in their eyes.
He said nothing and went.
Yeah.
And we had all that on VFN TV, but it was a confrontation to all of us. Thank God America's repenting, because if you stand with Israel, and speaking of that, President Trump even acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moved our embassy to Israel. Listen, that's a historical moment that he was compared to.
Well,
the king of Persia.
Yes, Cyrus.
Cyrus.
And this is something that every single president signed and campaigned and agreed they would do. In fact, the Congress, Senate already said this is what we're going to do, but they kicked the can single time. But he didn't.
He did it, and it's so wonderful. I mean, it's exciting to see this. So this is that first speech where President Trump comes in the United Nations after 8 years of basically surrendering our country over to this world form thing. And it's like, my goodness, it's exciting. Take a look.
We meet at a time of both immense promise and great peril. It is entirely up to us whether we lift the world to new heights or let it fall into a valley of disrepair. Our success depends on a coalition of strong and independent nations that embrace their sovereignty to promote security, prosperity, and peace for themselves and for the world. As President of the United States, I will always put America first. Just like you, as the leaders of your countries, will always and should always put your countries first. Now we are calling for a great reawakening of nations, for the revival of their spirits, their pride, their people, and their patriotism. Today, if we do not invest ourselves, our hearts, and our minds in our nations, if we will not build strong families, safe communities, and healthy societies for ourselves, no one can do it for us. We must solve our problems to build our prosperity, to secure our future, or we will build vulnerable to decay, domination, and defeat. History is asking us whether we are up to the task. Our answer will be a renewal of will, a rediscovery of resolve, and a rebirth of devotion. We need to defeat the enemies of humanity and unlock the potential of life itself.
So exciting. What a shift. It was a mega shift. And since then, with United Nations,
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley, she began basically saying, listen, we're going to take names of every nation who does not support the righteous type vote.
That's right.
And we're going to pull our money out. Guess what? They started she didn't even invite him over for dinner.
It's a beautiful thing because America is being respected in the world again.
And America's been giving money to all these nations. And it's like, hello, why are you going to give money to people that hate you, want to kill you, want to hurt you? They're enemies of your constitution, the enemies of your friend Israel. And so it's just shifting.
Speaking of that, about $200 billion has been cut back from the Palestinians, I believe, and as well as the Pakistanians as well. Saying, if you're not going to deal with this terror, we're not going to send you American taxpayers' monies over there.
Because it's a resolvable issue there with the Palestinian people, because over and over again, Israel has offered choice after choice after choice, saying, listen, we'll have peace, we'll have peace. But every time they've turned it down. In their governmental bylaws, Hamas has, who's the ruler over the Palestinian people, right? It says that they will actually push Israel in the sea. I mean, it has to eliminate Israel. That's their whole goal of the
they
nation.
They spent the money we've sent them to build underground tunnels to attack Israel instead of helping their own people. This is fact.
Well, Israel's sending over food and resources to help them. But listen, things are changing. We're not going to fund governments who are actually oppressing their people and that's actually an enemy of our people.
No pay for slay. That's over.
Thank God. That was huge, you know. So think about this. I mean, I have to repent before you and everybody because I thought one time in this nation, what's the big deal? You know, Christmas, we always celebrate Christmas. What's the big deal? It's a huge deal when somebody says you can't say Merry Christmas. Happy Jesus. You know, Merry Christmas is the fact that that's the day that Jesus, God gave his son, you know, to be able to live for us, to die for us so we could be forgiven through God. And that was the day that he was born, that we celebrate that he was born. And it's very important to acknowledge God because Romans chapter 1 says if you don't acknowledge him, it doesn't turn out well for you. And you can actually see some of those fruits happening in our nation because we stopped acknowledging him. But guess what? God, all he wants us to do is to acknowledge him. Well, guess what? President Donald Trump came even to the Gulf Coast. And you had a chance to see them there.
I did.
And the biggest thing, he was president. And so he said, you know, it's Merry Christmas again, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful event. It was really historic because this is the Gulf Coast. This is, you know, sunny weather. It's warm, even in December. But something happened that night when the president touched down in Pensacola. It started to snow.
White, pure snow. The purity of snow fell over on the Gulf Coast. I mean, you're talking about, go look at where we're located on the Gulf Coast. And it's like, you can say it's Merry Christmas again in America. That's so huge. As a matter of fact, not only did it happen, did white snow fall on the Gulf Coast when the president came to tell everybody, I'm doing what you said, I hear him, Mary, I said I would do. The White House, literally the first Christmas in the White House, it was so white and so pure as the First Lady Melania decorated to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. The White House. Exciting! It's Merry Christmas again in America. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have a lot to be happy about. You have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to be grateful for. It's time to get out and shout it in the streets like God is blessing our nation again. I think about this. It was the first lady ever appointed over the
CIA. This is historic.
Central Intelligence Agency.
And President Trump nominated the first woman. And it's beautiful. I hear she's doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, she's been there for like 30-something years or something of that nature. Also, the feds, the federal government, listen, the previous government was like tax everybody. What President Trump is doing, he's saying, listen, just go make money, be prosperous, and then we'll make money off of you being prosperous.
That's right.
Well, the federal government collects record taxes in the first month under Trump's tax cut, running a surplus in January. We actually collected more money than we ever collected before.
You're saying that we collected more money in the midst of a tax cut? You mean you're going to raise taxes
to
collect more money?
They lowered the taxes. And more money came in, and in addition to that, the companies immediately started paying bonuses out to all their people. That's a God thing. Wow. You know, companies don't look at paying bonuses. They could have paid them out. But God is just like, he's blessing you. There's more jobs now than there are people to fill them, the ability to fill them now in America. It's just great. As a matter of fact, we're going to do one more thing. You got to see this before we go right here. President Donald Trump talks about in January 2018, he's given a report on his first year. His first year as president. Remember, we're doing all 23 months, but this is his first year reporting in January 2018. Take a look.
Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world. Today, I am keeping another promise by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch. We love our police, we love our sheriff, and we love our ICE officers. Together, we're going to restore safety to our streets and peace to our communities. And we're going to destroy the vile criminal cartel, MS-13, and many other gangs.
We're going to get you back and operating immediately. Thank you, Emmy. Your governor has done a fantastic job.
And I declare today for the world to hear that the West will never, ever be broken. Our values will prevail. Our people will thrive. And our civilization will triumph.
We will defeat radical Islamic terrorism, and we will not allow it to take root in our country. We have created more than 2 million jobs since the election. Unemployment is at a 17-year low. The stock market is at an all-time high and hit yet another all-time high, the 85th time since my election. We have cut 22 regulations for every one new regulation, the most in the history of our country.
We are going to be celebrating Merry Christmas again.
$3.2 trillion in tax cuts for American families, including doubling the standard deduction and doubling the child tax credit. The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. The largest tax cut in the history of our country. We are a nation of pioneers and patriots, aviators and astronauts. We crave adventure and achievement, exploration and enlightenment. We gave birth to the modern world, and we will shape tomorrow's world with the strength and skill of American hands. Because for America, the sky is never the limit.
This is so exciting, isn't it? I mean, look at everything that's going on. We're only part of the way through. This is like the end of part two.
Part two.
But part three's coming. Make sure you catch our next program, because we're going to continue on. There's so many good things that God's allowing to happen to America and the world. We're getting some of you write to us that you're saying specifically, like, you know, thank you for staying and keeping the truth going forth, yeah, and not allowing people who are trying to destroy America, because that's somebody all the way from Indonesia. That, yeah, we got your email. We understand what you're saying, and that we're standing with you. Pray for us, because we want to stand with you and the whole world, you know, for what's right.
Absolutely.
During this day. And if you read our Constitution, it's one nation under God, and we're getting back to those principles again. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is coming back again.
E pluribus unum. Although we're many,
we're one.
Exactly.
And that's unity's coming back. It's the United States of America. That's what E Pluribus Unum lines up with, though we're many, we're one. I am pumped. You know, we're going over 23 months of President Trump's presidency. I want to say prophecy.
It's a presidency.
Presidency.
Which is important you say that, because he, you know, person who runs for the presidency, it's of the United States of America, not the presidency of the world.
Correct.
And it's okay for you to represent your country and say, yeah, America first, not America last, America first.
And if you joined us in our previous program, you heard the President Trump speaking to all the nations in the United Nations saying, listen, your nation expects you to stand up for your nation. And
stand up for your nation like I'm standing up for mine.
Right. And of course, overwhelmingly, the big support that's coming from all around the world. But this, now we are right at this point on our third part, is the fact of saying, you know, what happened in the State of the Union address, which is his second State of the Union address. in January of 2018. Let's go back and take a look at that as we work our way up to today on his first 23 months. State of the Union, President Trump.
Less than 1 year has passed since I first stood at this podium in this majestic chamber to speak on behalf of the American people and to address their concerns, their hopes, and their dreams. Each day since, we have gone forward with a clear vision and a righteous mission to make America great again for all Americans. These are the people we were elected to serve. No people on earth are so fearless or daring or determined as Americans. And together we are building a safe, strong, and proud America. The state of our union is strong because our people are strong. We're people whose heroes live not only in the past, but all around us, defending hope, pride, and defending the American way. The people dreamed this country. The people built this country. And it's the people who are making America great again. As long as we have confidence in our values, faith in our citizens, and trust in our God, our nation will forever be safe and strong and proud and mighty and free.
This is so awesome to see what's taking place. That was the 2018 State of the Union. It's getting better and better and better in his first 23 months. We're checking that out. But now listen, I've never seen a vice president as so involved as Vice President Mike Pence. You know, a Christian man, a man who loves God, loves his wife, honors God, and honors our country. And he's so humble, and but he's right in there, yeah. And they're working hand in hand. And he went to represent America after President Trump went to represent America in Israel and stand with Israel and pray at the Western Wall. Well, actually, Vice President Mike Pence went there himself and prayed at the Western Wall and went to the museum, Yad Vashem, which is the museum, the Holocaust Museum in Israel. You got to see this. As a matter of fact, the Knesset, the government for Israel, stands up and gives him an ovation when he speaks in the Knesset, the government of Israel. Take a look.
This is our fourth trip to the Holy Land. Karen and I will take a moment to pay our respects at Yad Vashem.
To honor the 6 million Jewish martyrs of the Holocaust, we will marvel at the faith and resilience of your people, who just 3 years after walking beneath the shadow of death, rose up from the ashes to resurrect yourselves, to reclaim a Jewish future and to rebuild the Jewish state.
And we'll have the privilege to pray at the Western Wall. But we never fail to leave here without a sense that our faith has been renewed. Our faith in God, but also our faith in the extraordinary people of Israel and in their commitment to freedom and security and peace.
This is so, so very, very important, how we acknowledge Israel, the apple of God's eye. All the nations of the world will be gathered in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and they'll be judged on one thing, what they did with Israel, what they did with the land of Israel. And America is standing with and for and in support of and honoring and acknowledging Israel. Listen, this puts America in a strategic place to be used by God and be blessed by God. And it's so important, and it's so cool to see our vice president taking that kind of stand like that. And we got to pray for them. I mean, they're doing it. We got to stand and support. When all these few folks that have a mic that are speaking things like this is not happening, you got to say, I'm sorry, it is. Go to VFN TV. You can find it. You can find it at VFNKB.com. Yeah. You can find it on our YouTube channel. You can find it on our radio. You can find it everywhere about what's going on.
And it's important to support those who are supporting the vice president and the presidency. Because you can't do it alone. So it's the Senate. It's the Congress. You want to put people in place that are going to work with the president to continue to do more of what he's been doing, getting results for the American people.
Speaking of that, you know what can stop this is you not going out and voting in the midterm elections. If you're watching this before the midterm elections, all elections, and support those who stand up for these kind of principles, the Declaration of Independence, God and government, freedom, you know, one nation under God, and you're seeing the liberal and the branches of government, what they actually mean. The only branch of government that's supposed to make law is the legislature branch. It's Congress and the Senate. The judiciary branch is supposed to actually interpret the law that they made, not make it. A lot of laws have been made. Really, they're just decisions. They're not laws. They cannot make laws. And that's what people are concerned about when they bring Supreme Court justices to be approved, because they know at one moment they can say, this is not constitutional. It's not a law. If you want it to be a law, go to Congress and you guys vote on it and you put your money where your mouth is and you say you want a law like that. This is exciting.
Speaking of of Trump's accomplishments, in 2017, he set the record for the appointing the most judges to have lifetime appointment. That happened in 2017. That's an amazing thing.
That's huge, too. I mean, he started with the appeals courts, which are the ones who ultimately decide many things more so than the Supreme Court. God is real, and there was one brother out of South Korea, I don't know if you're listening right now, but he spoke prophetically. He said, listen, America, no matter what you do, no matter who wins the elections, if you don't change your judges, if you don't change your judges, there's no hope for it. And guess what? It's being changed.
It's happened.
Thank you for that word. It's being confirmed even today. And Vice President Mike Pence went to Jordan, and the King of Jordan is the friend of America, is the friend of Israel. He's just been a...
King Abdullah.
King Abdullah. He has been a force of good for so many... But this is Vice President Mike Pence during the first 23 months of the presidency. Take a look.
The United States and Jordan have stood together for decades. It has been a partnership, strategic in scope, important in the region and important in the world. I'm also here to express our great admiration for your leadership and the courage of the Jordanian military in the fight against terrorism. Together with the American military and the Iraqi military and our coalition partners, we've made dramatic progress in the battle against ISIS, driving ISIS out of Iraq, driving ISIS out of the capital of their so-called caliphate of Raqqa. And you can be assured that we will continue to work closely with you as we drive ISIS out of existence together.
This is so important. You're looking at the stand. The countries are standing with us. And I think about this, too. In 2017, that President Trump signed 96 laws into law. He signed 96 laws in his first year of being in office.
Yeah. Well, I think about this. What happened here in Jordan, remember, it was the Jordanian pilot that was captured by ISIS.
Goodness. You saw that on
BFN
TV.
That was burning alive in a cage like an animal.
ISIS, what he's saying is ISIS took a Jordanian pilot, and we had that. They showed you that.
We showed it.
It was tragic, but you had to see it, that they had him in a cage. They poured fuel over him, and they put a whole line of fuel to a certain point, and they set that fuel on fire, and they burned King Abdul's soldiers, pilot. Yeah, to death, and it was like, it's just evil. If you want to know what hell looks like, that's what hell looks like, and it was just tragic.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing to say that in the last 23 months, have you heard of anything that ISIS has done on the face of this earth except be defeated by our great military? Prior to that, they were doing all kinds of beheadings, all kinds of, atrocities. Don't forget what happened in Iraq with the Yazidis.
Yes.
I mean, this was just horrific.
Yeah.
But this president came in and said, no, no more. And they've been decimated.
Christians were being persecuted. Muslims who weren't Muslim enough for the radical Islamic terrorism were being murdered. They put a N over the doors of Christians for Nazareth.
Yeah. Nazarene. We had a nun testify in Congress saying we're watching this on TV, not knowing that they were going to be at our doorsteps hours later, basically.
Yes.
Please do something.
Yes, that was we showed you all that on VFN TV. Listen, this is so encouraging to see what God is doing in the earth in the first 23 months of President Trump's presidency. But when we get back, we're going to go look at how does President Trump respond to the Easter, which is actually when God sacrificed his son, was put into a grave, and on the third day was raised from the dead so that we can all have life in him. Let's find out where he stands on this. You're going to be really blessed. Join us at the break.
We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The whole Islamic worldview is comprehensive. It is political, it has a moral theory, it has a cultural theory, it has a financial theory, it has a propagational method. A Muslim man in the Middle East said to me, beware, the difference between the radical and the moderate is not as great as people would think. The line is very thin. In its core, the Islamic worldview would pose a greater challenge to the life and the lifestyle of the Western worldview. Because in the Western worldview, you are given the freedom to believe and disbelieve. It's not always true in Islamic nations. So I would say in terms of the freedom of these things, the greater challenge to the world right now is coming from that worldview. But in terms of the pervasiveness of belief systems, the paganism is certainly a more daunting one. I don't think it's as fearsome, but it is real.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so exciting. We're looking at the 23 months of President Trump in office, looking at what he's accomplished. We saw what he does for Christmas. He acknowledges Christmas. Merry Christmas again. He's just loosed it over the nation in the White House. Even God had snow fall down on the Gulf Coast, when he showed up and said, it's Merry Christmas again in America. But think about this. What about Easter? What does the president, is he ashamed of Jesus Christ on Easter? Is he ashamed of the Jewish people under a Passover, you know, during that time? Well, this is him speaking from the White House on Easter and about Passover. Check it out.
My fellow Americans, at this holy time of the year, families across our nation gather in homes, churches, and synagogues to light candles and to praise God. During the sacred holiday of Passover, Jewish families around the world give thanks to God for liberating the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and delivering them to the promised land of Israel. For Christians, we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and his glorious resurrection on the third day. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim with joy, Christ is risen. Both of these sacred celebrations remind us that God's love redeems the world. Almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light." In America, we look to the light of God to guide our steps. We trust in the power of the Almighty for wisdom and strength. And we praise our Heavenly Father for the blessings of freedom and the gift of eternal life. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
So powerful. Mm. I mean, you can't listen. This is what God wants. In Romans chapter 1, it says, they failed to acknowledge me. Therefore, I gave them over. We've been previously being given over to things. But now you're looking at things being turned back. Why? Because our leadership around the nation, we're acknowledging God once again, acknowledging his Son and what's taking place, and acknowledging the Jewish people and the significance and the apple of God's eye. Not only that, but in March of 2018, prior to Easter, that President Donald Trump welcomed, and the First Lady Melania welcomed, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He is the Prime Minister of Israel, and his wife Sarah into the White House. It was so cool watching Sarah and Melania come together because they were so excited. Yeah. About sharing each other's houses, because when he went over to the Middle East, he went to Israel, she showed Melania all around, and it was just so cool to watch. We're friends again. As a matter of fact, this is what was said. The moment that President Trump got into office, he made one phone call to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he says, our relationship was instantly
restored.
Totally restored, best ever, best they've ever had. So this is actually President Trump and First Lady Melania welcoming into the White House, your house, those that are in America, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his wife Sarah from Israel. Check it out. Whoa, is that not awesome? That's so awesome.
I remember at a press conference, they were trying to ask Netanyahu, Prime Minister, about Trump's support of Israel. He said, let's put this to rest, that there is no greater supporter of Israel and the Jews than this president, President Trump. And I thought that was amazing coming from the Prime Minister, considering what has been happening over the years, and particularly the previous 8 years.
And his daughter is married to Jared Kushner. And he also said during that time, I believe, he said, listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but how long that Jared Kushner and I have been friends for years. Mm. And Jared is the one that Trump is saying, hey, I want you to help bring peace, you know, in the Middle East. And he's actually, prison reform is taking place. Listen, God cares about the injustices in America. And the president said, if you think there's an injustice, contact him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already pardoned people across the land. And if you have a good case, and if you see some of your sports figures, you know, that are out there saying that he's unjust, it's like, you need to get on the phone, you need to call the president and tell them about the injustice if somebody's in jail unjustly, and he can just sign one piece of paper, and that person's totally...
And he's done it where most presidents wait to the end of their presidency to pardon a bunch of people that sometimes don't even deserve to be pardoned. He's pardoning a lot of people now, early on, saying, hey, let's make it right.
So I encourage you, you know, and we love our sports in the world, we love our sports in America, that if all they're doing is talking and complaining about this president's doing great stuff, text them back or tweet them back and say, listen, what about so-and-so? They're in jail unjustly. What about this person? Go to President Trump. He said, this is what he said. He said, my door's open to you. Come on in. We'll talk about it. And if that's true, then we'll sign a pardon for them. What else can you ask for? That's huge, by the way, in regards to a government that's willing to listen and to do such a thing. But also think about this, you know, what about our young people because of all this technology and their health and everything? Mm-hmm. Is this president concerned about the fitness of our young people? Well, guess what? This is the White House Sports and Fitness Days. He's focusing our attention on our children to make sure they're healthy and strong. Let's go to the White House now.
Participating in sports builds character, forges friendship, tears down barriers, and brings people from all walks of life closer together. I'm delighted to welcome the announced members of the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. These leaders are committed to getting America's youth onto the field and into the game. For the first time in history, I have directed this council to work with the White House and Secretary Azar to develop a national strategy to increase youth participation. It's now my honor to kick off an exciting White House field day.
It's so exciting. You're seeing every aspect. You think about, we always talk about the seven mountains. VFNKB is about focusing on the mountains. You can find out more at VFNKB.com. But focusing on family, focusing on education, focusing on government, focusing on media, arts and entertainment. And I'm missing some mountains right here. But the business mountain.
Education.
But the business mountain was being so neglected. That's where we work. That's where we get our jobs. That's where our resources come from. But guess what? President Trump has focused in his first 23 months, and this is actually in July of 2018, where he's actually focusing on Made in America showcases. He showcases businesses once a year and brings in different businesses from all around the country to say, listen, this is Made in America. Let's celebrate that and let's buy that. As a matter of fact, this is it right now in the White House celebrating America's showcase on the Business Mountain. Check it out.
Welcome, everybody, to the White House for the second annual Made in America Showcase. We're here today to celebrate the greatest products in the world, products made with American heart, American sweat, and American pride. We're thrilled to showcase incredible American-made goods from all 50 states. After many years of decline, American manufacturing is coming back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. We're in the midst of a great economic revival in the United States. Every time a new factory opens, every time jobs are returned to our shores, every time we buy a product made by our own American neighbors, we are renewing the bonds of love and loyalty that link us all together as Americans. My administration is reclaiming our proud manufacturing heritage because we are finally putting, again, America first. Made in America is back. Now, some people would say made in the USA. I personally don't care. The fact is, we're back. We have 400,000 new manufacturing jobs. Our opponent said that could never happen. It has happened, and we're going to develop a lot more in a very short period of time. So, made in the USA, made in America, it's back.
This is so exciting, isn't it? And think about it. The previous administration was saying jobs were gone, industry's gone, manufacturing's an old thing. We're not going to do it. We're losing jobs left and right. The highest unemployment rate in the history of America, couldn't recover. We had Americans, and you have to actually start looking for support if you don't have a job. So we had the highest ever in the number of food stamps. People were dependent on the government for their food. Well, I think we have 4 million jobs have been brought in since he's been there in these 23 months. Also, 4 million people got to come off of food stamps, and they had to be able to afford their own
money.
That's
awesome. This is a long way from when Fender, remember the guitar company?
Oh, yeah.
They were being under attack.
Yes.
And now we're celebrating American companies.
Attacking small businesses.
This is a beautiful day.
So I want you to hear this. These are businesses that came together in the White House with the presidents, and they committed, and I want you to hear at the end of this, they're committing to hundreds of thousands, 20,000 jobs, 40,000 jobs, 80,000 jobs. They say we're committed to hire America and train America. As a matter of fact, this is truly President Trump in these 23 months, his first 23 months, saying what he said, jobs, jobs, jobs. He's the jobs president. Check it out.
I will be signing an executive order to establish the National Council for the American Worker. And today we are taking historic steps to ensure that every American has the chance to realize their full-time potential. We're asking businesses and organizations across the country to sign our new pledge to America's workers, committing to train and retrain more than 3.8 million American students and workers for new jobs and rewarding careers.
On behalf of IBM,
General Motors,
The Home Depot,
Lockheed Martin,
Walmart,
We pledge
48,000,
500,000,
512,000,
100,000,
370,000 people,
over 1 million.
And together with the help of everyone in this room, we will truly make America greater than ever before.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. One company said we pledge 1 million jobs. It's amazing what's happening. This is God's blessing on our country. That's why it's so important to acknowledge God as the God over our nation, because he will bless you. He'll bless your families. It's not only that, he'll bless you in the world. This is actually this later in July 2018, where President Trump goes again to NATO. And this is that alliance that was built after World War II to be able to fend against communism and Russia that was coming down. And so NATO, people were not paying their fares. They were supposed to pay 2% of their budget towards this defense fund to be able to defend all the nations if any of them is under attack. And you, or if you're in America, most of America was paying.
We're funding it. There's only five nations, and we're funding about 4%, double of what we're required to do. But yeah. President Trump went there and said, it's time for you to pay your bills, no more on the backs of Americans.
And the reports are that more nations are paying more than they ever had, paying more of their fair share for NATO alliance. As a matter of fact, this is President Trump, July 2018, at NATO. Check it out. This is exciting as it's NATO, but the question you think about, how is our relationship with the United Kingdom? Remember some things that took place during the previous administration? What's going to be taking place? Well, the very first person that want to be the very first person to leader of the nations to see President Trump was
Theresa May,
the Prime Minister of United Kingdom. And as a matter of fact, the President Trump later got a chance in 2018 of July to be able to go to see Theresa May in the United Kingdom and also spend some time with the Queen. So this is President Trump, your president, if you're in America, going to the United Kingdom. This is a great welcome that took place, and spent some wonderful time with Theresa May and her husband, but also the Queen. Take a look. Exciting! Oh my goodness! Listen, this is only our third installment. You got to catch our next program, the State of the Union, first 23 months of President Donald Trump. Comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. We love to hear from you. How's it going, man?
Man, I'm excited about what we're talking about. 23 months of just blessings.
Isn't it strange how so many people are focusing on negative things instead of these successes and these winnings?
While they're tripping over all these wonderful things.
You're missing. You got to share this with everybody you know. You know, go write to us, your friends at VFNKB. We love hearing from you. Also, comment below. But you can share this. You can go to our YouTube channel. We're going to make this available to you on YouTube. You might even be watching it on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting it, streaming it. But you can share with your friends. Encourage your loved ones. Send this to them. It'll really encourage them. What are we doing? We're looking at the first 23 months of the presidency of President Donald Trump. And we're just kind of chronologically working our way up to the present day to find out, you know, what's taking place. And we heard some pretty awesome things.
Awesome. This reminds me when he signed the tax cut bill and Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah spoke on behalf of the president. Yes. And I was surprised by what he said. He said that single-handedly that this president has done more than any other president ever. He may go down as the greatest president ever, and that we all should get support, you know, get behind him and support him.
He was so moved, he said, that I love him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so powerful at that moment. Because when you see somebody loving your country, understanding your family's going to be raised up under this new, new direction of the country. And I think about also in the Paris Accord Agreement, which was everybody wants a better climate, but it was set up in such a way, the reports are, it was transferring all of America's wealth and outside of the country. It's like giving away America's wealth. And it's like, what's going on?
But on the backs of Americans.
Well, yes. And that, you know, that was the goal based on a lot of the reports of the strategies. How can you drain the resources out of it? I think about Cloward and Piven. Cloward and Piven is a couple that wrote about how to actually crash a government. They tried it in the 60s, you know, the Weather Underground and the crew that's doing things against the government. And they tried to get everybody on some sort of government-funded program. But they found out America's way too strong for that. The middle class is way too happy to get them to be turned against the country. But since then, they've been working overtime to turn people against their very own future and country. But this moment in time, in the last 23 months, because you prayed, people prayed, God has heard, and he's turning this country around for the blessings of America and also the world. And Israel. As a matter of fact, we're going to go back and continue to look chronologically, you know, as we're picking up in the fourth installment here of, you know, what's happening, looking back on President Trump's presidency, the first 23 months. And I remember here is one. This is the President Trump making the announcement that he's going to nominate Brett Kavanaugh as a nominee for the second Supreme Court. This is his second nomination, and you're seeing that. As a matter of fact, it happened, the nomination declaration was in July, but you're seeing it take place that he'll be seated October the 1st for the Supreme Court. Take a look.
Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. Judge Kavanaugh has impeccable credentials, unsurpassed qualifications, and a proven commitment to equal justice under the law. The Supreme Court is entrusted with the safeguard of the crown jewel of our republic, the Constitution of the United States. The rule of law is our nation's proud heritage. It is the cornerstone of our freedom. It is what guarantees equal justice. And the Senate now has the chance to protect this glorious heritage by sending Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
Exciting. Think about it. Supreme Court is getting back to its original intent to actually find out if the laws that Congress made, not the Supreme Court, that the Congress makes, if they're constitutional or not. They're not supposed to make laws, and they can't make laws. It's unconstitutional to make laws. And that's why you saw so many people so upset about Kavanaugh's appointment and Gorsuch's appointment, because they were going to go back and go, this is not a law at all. This is just an opinion of a court. It's unconstitutional.
Right.
And instantly, they'll do away with it. There was evil things done in the past in America, and one of them was slavery. And you know what? A decision was made on the bench. I believe it was Justice, I can't forget the particular justice right now, but they said it's going to be this way forever. Guess what? The Supreme Court came in, turned around, and did away with the evilness of that. And there's a lot of evilness right now on the books, or if it hasn't been done away yet, that's being done away with because of righteous judges that are constitutionalists, that love God, love the country. And it's so, so very, very important when you think about that. Pray for those. You know, we've been praying for years, you know, and many people, you have too, maybe, that, you know, praying for the Supreme Court, praying for our legislatures, our governmental leaders. God says, pray for all those in authority over you that you may have a peaceful life.
That's right. Peaceful, quiet, and godly life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, godly life. And I think about this, too. We talk about this quite often, but look at how our president, President Trump, during his 23 months of being president in July of 2018, he addressed at this dinner at Greenbrier about how he wanted to make sure that he saluted. You know, everybody talks about, you know, I want to be president, so they salute me. But President Trump is saluting our troops because he says over and over again, we would not have America, we would not be America, we would not have the freedom, all the blood and the sacrifice of those men and women who served and serve in our law in our armed forces. And this is President Trump in July of 2018. We're working our way up to 23 months, saluting our troops. Check it out.
We're gathered here on the eve of the 4th of July to celebrate courageous men and women who make freedom possible. American independence has endured because of the sweat, blood, and sacrifice of the American armed forces. We are reminded how truly blessed we are to be American and to live in this land of our great heroes. This 4th of July, let us pledge to renew the bonds of love and loyalty that unite us together as Americans. Let us pledge to expand the blessings of liberty, prosperity, and justice to all of our citizens. And let us always remember that we are one people and one nation saluting one great American flag.
One great American flag. I mean, does the red stripes represents the bloodshed that's been given over the years to allow us. I think the reports are like 1% of America volunteers to serve in the armed services to be able to keep and maintain our freedoms. Not only our freedoms, but freedoms of those around the world.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing to see that. So here he is. He's, you know, in the first 23 months, he's doing what he said he would do. And I think about this. You know, when you think about the nuclear threats that were taking place from North Korea during the last presidency, and the first thing that President Trump heard reportedly from President Obama when he was leaving office was his greatest threat that he needs to focus on is North Korea. Mm. Don't know why he wasn't focusing on it. But anyway, so he understood that right away. And so I think about this. Remember, they had Otto. You remember Otto, the student?
Oh, yeah. Weinbrier.
He ripped down a poster, you know, some propaganda on the wall, and they sentenced him to hard labor, this young, strong man with a great future ahead of him, and they just took him to those gulags
and tormented him
and made him, you know, do terrible things to him, and he came back like a zombie only to be delivered to his parents right before he was gonna
die.
And it was just so sad. At the same time, we had a minister that was there, and we had another man that was there, and three actually, and they were there teaching us some different things, but they also were there, you know, as people who love God and love the North Korean people. Well, they took them, they held them hostage, and nobody could get them out. But guess what? President Trump, whatever he said, the favor God's put on his life, he got on the communication circuit, and next thing you know, he flew those hostages back, and I wish we had footage to be able to show you. Maybe you're seeing it right now, I don't know. But he brought them in, he held flags up, he welcomed them, he gave the embrace, he embraced them, and just so grateful to It's sort of like Ronald Reagan. Remember President Ronald Reagan? The first thing he did was free the hostages of Iran. It was taking place. And
President and Melania, First Lady, met them at 3 a.m. when the plane came in to welcome them home. It's amazing. We had a lot of American bloodshed. My grandfather fought in the Korean War. And there's a lot of Americans that died there. And so it's good to see things come full circle and see this dictator. In fact, North Korea is the number one persecutor of Christians.
Yeah.
And so to see this thing come full circle,
you
only can say just the hand of God.
This is so important. Some of the prophecies about North Korea is there's going to be a revival that takes place in North Korea that the world won't even believe it until they go see it. And we showed you some of those things taking place. But there was the Singapore summit that was facilitated and caused to happen because of President Donald Trump. He put it together where everybody in Asia were going to come together. The leader of North Korea, the hermit kingdom, they call it that because it never would come out from itself. Mm-hmm. You know how a hermit goes up into a shell. And he got him to come out, come to Singapore. I mean, they had to pay the bills and stuff because they have, anyway. So they come together and begin to start peace talks to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. And I just heard, I believe her name is Kat Kerr, maybe that's her name, but her first name is Kat, a prophetic lady that's saying that the North and the South Korean people will once again be unified. That's coming in the future, and the present leader of North Korea will not be in the picture, she says.
Well, the word, prophetic word too, is that the bamboo curtain is coming down.
Yeah.
And who knows that, that capital used to be known as Jerusalem of the East. And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, who knows what God's going to do there, but it's going to be a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful. And so I want to take you down and remind you, in July of 2018, in addition to everything else he did in July, President Trump went to the Singapore summit that he helped facilitate and put up that nobody else could do, and made it actually come to pass and began denuclearization of North Korea. Take a look. Powerful, I'm telling you. And think about this. It's President Trump that led the charge for the biggest sanctions in the history, probably, of the world on North Korea. He even got China to participate, Russia to participate. And these are the ones that have been fueling what they've been doing there and putting that pressure on them to make them consider, no longer shooting those nukes off. They were shooting missiles over Japan. They were shooting missiles high enough to be able to reach the west coast of America. And President Trump took the leadership in that to be able to stop that from happening, which the whole world rejoices over that.
Not to mention they have a satellite in space that, reportedly they can
shoot. North Korea has a satellite.
Yeah, that could do damage to us. So this is really important times.
It flies over your country probably every 24 hours or whatever. But it could easily have a pulse, EMP type pulse nuclear weapon that goes off and basically shuts down all the machinery and technology in that particular region. It just, it could go off. And so, listen, this is huge. This is very exciting what's taking place. And like I said, the biggest treasury sanctions that ever been put on a country has been put on North Korea. And this is happening through President Trump's leadership. It's exciting. The first 23 months is looking pretty
good.
Pretty good. Now think about this too. We went through an earlier program where, Bastille Day, where President Trump was invited by Prime Minister or President Macron over in France. But he also, President Donald Trump and the First Lady Melania, brought in France, the Prime Minister or President Macron and Mrs. Macron to the White House, your house, the White House, those that are in America, they're watching this, and just honored France, and France honored us. Understand this. France was very key in helping America get their freedom in the Revolutionary War, because I believe
Benjamin Franklin
went over to get them to finance.
Give us some money.
Give us some money. And so we have a deep, long relationship over many, 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 many centuries, two centuries.
Well, they gave us the Statue of Liberty as a gift.
Yes, and that came from them. So now when you see President Trump taking President Macron to see these different sites, and you're about to see this, the reason why is because our relationship goes back historically. So this is President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania with President Macron and his wife coming into the White House in America. Take a look. That was the first lady preparing for the meal to be able to dine with the president of France. Is that not beautiful? I mean, it's just such elegant, and that's them representing you if you're in America, and if you care about freedom in the world, that's them representing you, because they'll be there for a time, and then the other people will come and serve in the office, and they're bringing dignity and respect, and countries are respecting them. Some of the things President Trump says, when world leaders, almost every world leader that comes to see him, the first thing they do is compliment him on what he's doing with the economy, with the jobs, and how he's standing boldly. And I know we're going to go to a break, but I want to remind you of this, that I don't know if you remember, one of the candidates that were running at the same time as him was Dr. Ben Carson. And Dr. Ben Carson is over HUD. He's the secretary of HUD. But he is going around into areas where people need help to break loose from generations of poverty and no chances, and creating Envision Centers. Envision Centers to be able to help empower and to train and to equip and to help get vision, because people, God's, this is what Secretary Ben Carson said. Without vision, people perish. So he's reestablishing vision into the hearts of those people who took advantage of them historically in the past, to give them vision so they can be the next president of the United States. It's exciting.
Upward mobility.
Yeah. And by the way, one thing that Secretary Ben Carson did when he got into HUD, as Secretary of HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, is he had an audit done. And guess what he found out? He found there was $500 billion under President Obama's administration in the HUD department that is unaccounted for, reportedly, right?
Yeah.
$500 billion.
Amazing.
Thank you, Dr. Ben Carson. Listen, God is doing some awesome things. When we get back, we're going to continue this first 23 months of President Donald Trump. We've got some pretty awesome things coming up. It ain't over yet. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Everybody will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now. Learning how to abide with God is so important, because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
That's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the King. Since his kingdom is manifesting,
right.
It's going to be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the King.
So now you got races blaming each other. You got police blaming the people blaming the police. You got parents blaming children blaming parents. When are we going to seek his face? When are we going to turn?
I played high school basketball, and so my daughter's a sophomore in high school. She's 6 feet tall. Her teammates want her to try out. The coaches want her to try out.
That's Margot Starbuck, and she's on today's Focus on the Family Minute, reflecting about how she learned not to push her daughter when it came to sports.
And I really have to check myself, because she's, you know, not so sure. And she did end up trying out, made the team, and it required me letting go a little bit. She had a horrible season. She did not play again. And as a mom, I had to see who she was and release her to do the things that she really enjoyed. And so again and again, I think we need to notice what's inside of us so that we really can see who our child is and not be sort of forcing our own things.
So don't let your desires drive the way. Instead, let your child grow into his or her own abilities. More from Margot Starbuck about finding good balance at FamilyMinute.org.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're looking at the first 23 months of President Trump's presidency, and it's just been success after success. But I think about this, you know, when a president gets in, they make a huge sweeping change. And one change that he made when he got in, he fired all 46 attorney generals that was established and put in place by President Obama to be able to promote what President Obama thought was the right way for America. And of course, America said, we don't want that way. They voted for President Trump. And all of a sudden, all 46 attorney generals, in addition to that, there was people getting in government just to go out and get a good job. And so they would be in government for a little bit, and they go become a lobbyist or whatever.
Yeah.
President Trump, put in a five-year banned from being a lobbyist. So you can't just work for the president in his cabinet for a year and then quit and go lobby somewhere. You have to wait 5 years. And by the way, 5 years in Washington, D.C. is a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. Well, not only that, they said black business ownership under President Trump jumped up 400%.
Wow.
Is that amazing?
400%. Oh, my goodness. I think about this. I remember that in August of 2018, just recently, where President Trump was at Fort Drum standing up again for our armed forces and just letting us know and letting them know we're going to do this thing together. It's all going to happen. Check it out.
America will always rise to every challenge and overcome every danger because we are backed by the strength and power of the American soldier. After years of devastating cuts, we're now rebuilding our military like we never have before. Every day the Army is fighting for us, and now we are fighting for you. The National Defense Authorization Act is the most significant investment in our military in modern history. America's future is safe, sound, and brighter than ever. We are advancing forward with our confidence renewed, our might restored, and the unwavering conviction that our destiny is our victory. America is a peaceful nation, but if conflict is forced upon us, we will fight and we will win.
Oh my goodness, is that, think about this. In addition to that, business investments up by 39% in 23 months he's done this. And I think about this, make sure you join us on our next program because we're going to continue this. This is President Trump and the First Lady welcoming the President of Kenya in Africa. Check it out. We love Kenya and it's amazing. We've got missionary friends that are in Kenya and we're excited about President Trump and the President of Kenya standing together. But also, think about this. As we're moving into all this outer space stuff and satellites and, you know, we're very vulnerable in space. But guess what? President Trump has started a space force. You have the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard. But now we have the Space Force. Is that awesome? Check it out.
My administration is reclaiming America's heritage as the world's greatest spacefaring nation. The essence of the American character is to explore new horizons and to tame new frontiers. But our destiny beyond the Earth is not only a matter of national identity, but a matter of national security. When it comes to defending America, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. And today we're taking one more step to unleash the power of American ingenuity to implement a state-of-the-art framework for space traffic management. Our nation of pioneers still yearns to conquer the unknown because we are Americans in the future belongs totally to us.
Please report to the whole team here at NASA. President Trump has brought renewed vision and renewed action to America's space program. And because of the enduring commitment of the Johnson Space Center and NASA, America is leading in space once again. Those pioneers saw from that far perspective that however deep into the cosmos we may reach, our destiny, mankind's destiny, is not only here on Earth, it is in the heavens as well. It is now the official policy that we will return to the moon, put Americans on Mars, and once again explore the farthest depths of outer space. I'm going to make you a promise. Soon and very soon, American astronauts will return to space on American rockets launched from American soil. America will lead mankind to the stars once again.
We're going to the moon again. Let us know. Comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. But guess what? It gets better. He's standing up for the ICE officers and the Border Patrol officers, the immigration officers, and the, he's letting them know, listen, you are strong and you are doing your job and we stand with you. Check it out.
We're here today to salute the incredibly brave patriots who keep America safe. Everyone here today understands a vital truth that America is a land of opportunity because we are a nation of laws. For America to be a strong nation, we must have strong borders. You are the patriots, and you are the heroes, you are the fighters, and you are the warriors for justice. You are great people. I'm honored every single day to serve as your commander-in-chief. I will never leave your side. I will never leave the fight. I will never, ever let you down. So on behalf of a grateful nation, let me say thank you for your service. You are truly incredible people.
So very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, the economy is stronger than it's ever been before. Listen to President Trump.
It's said now that our economy is the strongest it's ever been in the history of our country. And you just have to take a look at the numbers. Unemployment, all-time historic lows. Black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, Asian unemployment, women unemployment. These are records that are being set on a weekly basis. Our country is doing phenomenally well. We're going all the way. You look at what's happening outside of the United States, it's not a pretty picture. Inside of our country, we are just setting records, and I'm going to keep it that way. We have a lot of potential. We have a long way to go. Great trade deals are being negotiated right now. We're doing some great, great trade deals. When that happens, your 4.1 is going to go even higher. We're having a lot of fun.
Even higher. Listen, God has heard our prayers. He's answered. He's blessing America. He's blessing the world. He's moving. A great awakening is coming. I want to pray for you right now. Don't forget to comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. God, we just thank you for our president. We bless him and all of his cabinet and all the righteous leaders, God, that you would lead them and guide them. And God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.